The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh what? Expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. One faith, one God, one Spirit. Amen. If any man be in Christ, there's only one true religion. And Jesus Christ is not a religion. But I'll use that word because it fits and you know what I'm saying. Amen. We need to be in Christ. If you're in Christ, hallelujah, you're in Jesus Christ. You can know Him and the power of His resurrection. We serve more than just a religion. We serve the reality of knowing a God that has power to make us new creatures in Christ, where all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. John the Baptist said it this way, I must decrease that He can increase. Christ is living through us. We need this to be evident in the eyes of our families, of our co-workers, and from all that we are around on a daily basis. They need to see Christ in us, which is the only hope that any of us have. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Can you say amen? Now these seducing spirits, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed. In other words, they're going to give in to these seducing spirits. And what? Doctrines of devils. Doctrines of what? Devils being preached in churches. And I think one of the most deceptive ones today is the doctrines of grace. Many today are believing the doctrines of grace in a way that has totally perverted the true and original doctrines of grace. Don't get me wrong, I know we're saved by faith through grace. You know, the grace of God does what? It saves us. It shows us mercy. It gives us the extension of understanding. I'm saved by faith through the grace of God. It's not of myself. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Can you say amen? We can't earn it, but I can tell you this. There are many that are abusing the grace of God. The grace of God is being used so loosely today. The Bible says in Titus, they teach us something. They teach us to live godly and soberly. Grace gives you the strength and the power and the ability to live and obey God. Grace gives you the ability to do what you could never do. My mom, through her suffering of this cancer, she says, I don't know what it is, but I just feel something giving me an inner strength. And she says, I know it's God. I says, Mom, it's the grace of God. It's the strength of the saints praying for you. And can I tell you, where would we be without the grace and the mercies of God? I thank God for His faithfulness to give us grace in our times of need where we can't seem to press on and make it. God gives us His grace. And Paul said, it is sufficient for me. In our weakness, we are made strong because His grace is sufficient. But many are abusing the grace of God. The Bible says they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. What many of us have lacked in our lives is we need to get back a godly fear for who God is. We need to get back a godly fear and a reverence for God's holy word. Can you say amen? This spirit of deception, and I won't get into the details of it, I'd like to say more, but I want to move along here. The doctrines of the devil and what he's promoting. The devil, through a strong spirit of deception, is working through deceived preachers and teachers in many churches. They will be under an enticing spirit to draw many away from the true faith and doctrine. One thing I realized as we traveled across the nation was all the big, big churches across this nation. And I got the names of quite a few of them, and I went to their websites and I began to do a little research on some of these very multi-million dollar churches. Nothing wrong with having a big building and a big church. But as I began to listen to the teaching and the preaching and look into the doctrine that's being preached in many of these churches, what began to really get my attention is what is drawing so many thousands of people into these places. I mean, stadiums packed full. Hardly no empty seats. And I thought to myself, there's nothing wrong with big church. I don't have a problem with that. What I want to know is what's being preached behind that pulpit. What's being promoted? What's being taught? We need to understand that there are teachers and preachers that are bringing in damnable doctrines through the radio, through the television. And we need to guard our hearts and our spirits from many of these spirits. The Bible says that these spirits in 2 Peter 2:1, he says, but there were false prophets also, what? Among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. I'm going to read it again. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also where? Among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Damnable. They will damn your soul if you believe them. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now listen to verse 2 of 2 Peter 2. And many shall follow their what? Pernicious ways. Why are so many of these large ministries being followed by the thousands? Jesus said we're living in the last days. Many are going to be deceived. Now, I'm not saying just because you got a big church with a large following, you're false and you're deceptive. What I'm saying is we need to take heed that no man deceive us by any means. Whether they got a big church, small church, medium-sized church, I don't care. All that matters is what are they preaching according to the doctrines of the Bible. For they shall privily shall bring in damnable heresies, denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by the reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, who judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and the damnation slumbereth not. This is a dangerous, dangerous time to be living in. We are living in some dangerous times, brothers and sisters. Doctrines of grace have been perverted on such a level today to where we have multitudes and multitudes of Christian, so-called professing Christian believers that claim to know Christ, but have really never had a true born-again experience. They've never had a true experience with the power of God that sets them free from the powers of sin. How many of us know when we really get saved, we don't love what we used to love anymore? But today, folks are getting saved and saying, I'm a believer, and still going out of the church doors living the same way they lived. They're not born again. That's a tear. They will never produce fruit. They will never bring forth any true fruit that will remain until they get truly born again. Jude warned us of this. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence, Jude 1:3, to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly do what? Contend for the faith. That word contend earnestly means that we are to aggressively know what we believe, why we believe in what we believe. Can you give an explanation, and can you give a reason to other men and others that you're witnessing to of why you believe what you believe, and why do you stand for it? That word earnestly, contend for the faith, simply means we need to be contending and fighting for the original doctrines that were delivered unto the saints. The original. Many of us know there's no other way but the ways that were taught. Listen to me. The doctrines today that are being brought forth, men will preach doctrine and they'll bring a lot of truth out, but they'll twist it, they'll change it, they'll add to it and take from it. We can see it in our modern day Bibles. Can you say amen? We don't have time to get too much into that, but for there are certain men crept in, what? Unaware. Most folks don't even know. Most folks got a notepad. They're taking down notes in these churches. And listen to me, we've got, even got folks here. I could preach some false doctrine up here, and folks in our church would probably wouldn't even know. Amen. They'd be shouting an amen in me because they really, amen. Come on now, somebody. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not condemning others. I'm telling you it's everywhere. Amen. But I want us to be aware that we need to understand this stuff is creeping into many churches. It's creeping into many places. And we need to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The Bible says they were before ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 16 and verse 17. Tells us we are to mark, we are to identify these men, these ministries, these ones. We don't condemn them in such a way to where we say they have no hope and condemn them to hell. They're deceived and they need to have the light of truth turned on like Paul the Apostle did. He thought he was doing right by persecuting the church, but when Christ, amen, opened up his eyes to see and the scales fell from his eyes, he was willing to say, Lord, what do you want me to do, Lord Jesus? So I believe men can have their eyes open to truth, even when they believe what they're doing is right, that is not right in the eyes of the Lord. Mark them, the Bible says. Now I beseech you, brethren, Romans 16, verse 17, mark them which cause what? Divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And do what? Avoid them. Stay away from them. It does matter who we listen to. Romans 16 and verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And with good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Brothers and sisters, we've got a lot of simple Christians today that don't have enough of the Word of God taught to them and they don't study enough. Listen, it's altogether not always the pastor's fault. Many people will only get a message one time a week. They will not get, amen, into the book Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They only get it one day of the week. Can I tell you that one day of the week will make a weak Christian? Come on, somebody. Amen. And we need to have the bread of life every day filling up our souls. We need to study the Word of God. We must study the doctrines of the Word of God so that we can be able to rightly discern. We can rightly divide. We can understand what the preacher's preaching, and we can discern if what he is preaching is of God or not of God. We in the Word of God are commanded to judge those that are within. Don't judge, don't judge. You better judge what I'm preaching to you. You better. How many people just want to follow a deceiver? How do people know when they're deceived? That's the real truth right there. Listen to me now. You got to know truth. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall do what? Make you free. But we have men today that are educated, got doctor's degrees, nothing wrong with any of that education. They got fair speeches, they're great orators. They can move a crowd, but they deceive the hearts of many. The Bible says, avoid them. Mark them that cause divisions when they're preaching doctrines that are contrary to the original doctrines of Jesus Christ and what he had taught, brothers and sisters and the apostles. We need to avoid them. Avoid them. Responsibility of the true oracles of God. To whom much is given, much will be required. Amen. I believe we here have a lot more given to us than we think we have. See, because we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, which is not wise, the Bible says, but we do that. And let's be honest, when we begin to compare ourselves with other churches, what they have, the crowds they have, the money they have, everything that they're doing, listen, how many of us know it's not all about what you're doing? Listen to me now. Many in that day shall come to Christ and said, we've laid hands on the sick. We've cast out devils. We've done many wonderful works in your name. Think about that now. These are people that are praying for folks. They're casting out devils, laying hands on the sick. They're preaching the gospel. And Christ says, I never even knew you. I'll tell you what. They came before him thinking they were getting ready to hear the words of enter in, thou good and faithful servant. But he says, depart from me. Who are you? I don't even know who you are. That's a deceived person. That's not an unbeliever. That's someone laying hands on the sick. That's someone preaching. That's someone teaching. That's someone thinking they're doing right, but they're deceived. For many shall come in my name and shall deceive many. Is it really that small of amount of people that are going to make it? He said it. I didn't say it. He said, straight is that way. It's a narrow gate. And only a few that will be that enter into that way and find it. But broad is the way that leads to destruction. Brothers and sisters, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Our responsibility as all believers. Paul admonished Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. I want you to hear verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure. They won't stay with it. They won't continue with it. They will not stay on the path. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own what? Lusts. Shall they heap to themselves teachers. Give us some preachers that'll just tickle our ears. We don't need the doctrine anymore. We don't need all that old time religious teaching. Give us somebody that will make us feel good and scratch and make us feel good. Nothing, I tell you, you get an itch. You ever get an itch and somebody scratches it for you? How good does that feel? But I'll get a good one on my back every now and then and say, honey, how good does that feel? Come on now. Oh, yeah. Scratch my ear, preacher. I got an itch back there. I want to hear a soft and smooth message. Did they tell Jeremiah that? Give us something smooth. We don't want that rough message. We don't want that reproving and rebuking. We just want you to exhort us and make us feel good, preacher. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Just tell me a good story and make me laugh. For many shall follow their pernicious ways and shall make merchandise of them. You don't want to offend a crowd when they're buying your books. And you're making millions. And you can have the title of the biggest church in America. Now, I'm not going to go down the line. And I'm not here to browbeat other ministries. I'm just here to tell you we are living in the last days. We are living in days of deception. And we need to watch and pray. We need to be sober. Be vigilant. For our adversary, who? The devil. Is working through these spirits and he's deceiving the masses. We need to be studying, brothers and sisters. Can you say amen? We need to be praying. We need to be asking God, give me a greater spirit of discernment. I need more discernment to know what spirits I'm dealing with. When I hear a preacher, can you tell within just a couple minutes if he's preaching the truth or if he's preaching false doctrine? You've got to have it. You better have that discernment. You better know the word well enough. And you've studied enough. Because you are accountable to know the truth. When I get to thinking about us standing before the Lord, it's a singular thing that will happen. It'll be us and God. Your daddy won't be there. Your mama won't be there. Your wife won't be. It's you standing before the Lord, the one that knows everything. And there'll be no excuses to him. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat and give an account. How many want to be faithful? How many want to say, Lord, I contended earnestly for the faith. I did all that I could to stand for truth and righteousness.